Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
And tonight we talk about 1980s Gorky Park.
Oh, really? You're going to have the accent all night.
Starring
long.
William Hurt, Ian McDiarmid, Brian Dennehy, Ian Bannon, Lee Marvin, and Joanna Bakula. Okay, maybe not. Gorky Park, 1983. Takes you all
Damn,
the way back.
Siri keeps popping up. Shut up, Siri. Sorry, my computer just hijacked itself. I didn't. Siri has become self-aware.
In Russia, we've had Siri for many years. We call it Yuri. Say hello, Yuri.
My program is not compatible yet with the OS I'm running. So, lovely.
Is that your hijack program?
Yes.
But you can still record yourself.
I can record myself. I just can't record from Skype. So, we'll have to remind Brother Drew that not to update. I'm running a beta. I could probably go back, but...
Are you on, like, whatever the equivalent of 13 is?
I am on Catalina.
Oh, Catalina. Snow Leopard 9. Okay, so I will not do a bad Russian accent all night long.
Oh, no, please do.
Gorky Park, 1983.
Is it really more Transylvanian?
It
than
is
anything?
Kind of. It's one movie.
I do not say blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So, yeah, this actually may be a shortish episode. It's kind of an evergreen. Here, a little behind the curtain. We're actually recording two at once tonight. So we're going to have Gorky Park waiting for whenever I need to shove it in. And then we're recording another episode that we will release right away because it's dealing with a timely subject. But first, Gorky Park.
So
you read the novel?
I did.
Yeah. I think Mom had this novel back in the day.
She did.
And we read it on paperback. I'm pretty sure I read it too.
Yes. Well, I don't know about you, but
it's like Martin Cruz Smith or something.
That sounds right. We should probably credit the correct author.
Yeah, let's... Well, I just had to look up, because it wasn't in my notes, that Michael Apted was the director. Michael Apted, who's directed a bunch of stuff, including all the 7-Up movies, and...
7-Up movies?
You know, where they track the kids from age 7, then age 14, then age 21, and all the way up to, like, I think 64 now?
Martin Cruz Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, was this a series?
Yes. It's the Arkady Renko series.
Oh, there's more.
How many in the Arkady Renko series?
One moment. Come on, Wikipedia. Here we go. Okay. The Arkady Renko novels. Gorky Park, Polar Star, Red Square, Havana Bay, Wolves Eat Dogs, Stalin's Ghost, Three Stations, Tatiana. So that's 8 total. The last one was written in 2013. And is Martin Cruz Smith still alive?
I just read a book of his. It's also kind of old. It's called Nightwing. I believe it's about bats.
He is still alive. He is aged 76.
Did he write Nightwing?
Yes, he did. Yeah. That was 1977.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Oh, remind me, I got tricked into reading a book.
Okay, excellent.
That I'm not happy about.
Okay. So, now, had you seen the movie before?
I have never seen this movie before.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I had seen it back in the cable days. or maybe even actually back in the VHS days, followed by the cable days.
Oh, jeez.
And because I remember Joanna Pacula and, of course, Brian Dennehy, big fan of Brian Dennehy.
I have really mixed feelings about him. He's never in a role where I think he's a likable person.
Yeah, and he's not even really actually very good in this movie.
Yeah, I don't think I like him.
But he's just very charismatic, I think.
Was he? You thought so?
Kinda.
I thought that, I don't know. I thought most of the performances in this movie were flat. I think I texted you. So, a little bit of background. Our parents were in Portland this past weekend. They came in Friday morning and they were here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They left Monday morning. Saturday, I believe. Was it Saturday? Saturday. Between some downtime when we did some running around during the day, Dad wanting to take a nap. Mom and I watched Gorky Park, the first part, because we got like an hour of it in, because it's a long movie.
Yeah, it is.
So Sunday, same thing. Lull of the day, Dad took a nap, Mom and I watched the end of Gorky Park. And I said, about halfway through the second part of watching it, I said, because I couldn't figure out who William Hurt was reminding me of, and it was really starting to distract me. And then finally, I was like, his affect reminds me of, like, Alec Rickman.
Alan Rickman?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Once I got that, I was like, oh, he would have been much better in this role. I would have been much more believable. I mean, he's a really young William Hurt, so I'll give him a little bit of credit. He was probably not quite as douchey.
Tonight we talk about Gorky Park, Mr. Potter.
But that's how they came to watch this movie.
And did you enjoy it?
It wasn't awful, but it wasn't good. So I don't know that I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it. It wasn't as bad as Days of Thunder, so it wasn't quite that cheesy. I think at the time it came out, it was probably a better movie, because there probably weren't as many great movies out. But also I think that because it would have still been in the era of the Cold War.
Oh, yeah, it was deep in the Cold War.
There would have been much more.
Or that's not true. It was nearly the end of the Cold War, but nobody knew it.
Right. I think there would have been more mystery around that, if that makes sense.
I love the subplot about the Sables, actually.
That's the sound of a Sable's head being snapped by Brother E.
I would never snap a Sable.
I remember reading the book thinking the whole Sable thing was just batshit crazy. Like, it didn't make any sense to me until I looked up the other day how much a Sable coat costs today.
Oh, yeah. And you could only get Sable from Russia, so that was why it was a big deal.
$150,000 for a coat.
Yeah. Well, again, days when people bought fur for real.
Surely a different time.
Yeah, well, fur is just out of fashion now. But, I mean, it was, yeah, Sable was definitely more expensive than mink. And mink was considered ritzy. But, again, imagine having a weasel farm where you're basically going to be growing so you can make coats out of... it's like making a full-length cape out of wash rags.
Well, I mean, they looked very elegant, so I'm sure that with some good seamstress work...
That's a lot of sewing.
Or tailor work? Seamstress? I don't know. Anyway...
Tailoring furrierness, furrier, furiosity,
furioso. David Green, the master furrier.
Yes. You got to know when to hold them. Our David Green, our master furrier in Anchorage, is also was a notable professional gambler back before it was cool. Professional poker player.
So, to circle back around... I don't know. I think this movie would have been a lot better had I seen it, A, 20 years ago, and B, before I'd read the book.
Well, let's dive into the plot.
It's not a very complex plot.
Well, I mean, it does have some twists and turns. It's got a couple things going on at the same time. It is like a thriller.
Yes.
And a lot of it, I think, is meant to be first of all, it's an introduction to the character. But I think the scenery and the politics and all of the ambiance of the movie really play a big role in it. It's kind of like how you go into a James Bond movie for a little about how James Bond's going to save the world, but also for kind of a travelogue.
Yeah.
So you're in it. You're in this movie kind of to see what a policeman in Soviet Russia was like, I think, in 19, whenever it's supposed to take place. Probably the late 70s, early 80s, something.
Yeah, that would seem right.
Moscow, the Soviet Union. In the opening scene, three young people are seen ice skating on a frozen pond in Gorky Park. 3 days later, Soviet Militsaya officer Arkady Rinko, played by William Hurt, who we know and love from Mr. Brooks, the Dune 2000 miniseries, and the upcoming Big Chill, upcoming for us to talk about.
I was going to say.
He investigates the discovery of their bodies a short distance from the skating rink. All have been shot in the chest and mouth. Their faces and fingerprints have been completely removed with surgical instruments. Rinko is left anxious and paranoid when the KGB refuses to take over the investigation. So this is yada-yadding a little bit about the machinations and the difference between the KGB and the regular police, but they all like work for the Communist Party, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot about who you know. But Rinko enlists the help of Professor Andreev, played by Ian McDiarmid, the Emperor Palpatine from a lot of Star Wars movies, and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. You're going to get him to reconstruct the face, which, by the way, was
he didn't. He didn't pay Emperor Palpatine in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Well, kind of. He played. I would say he was cast as a Palpatine type. By the way, have you heard about that new Dirty Rotten Scoundrels movie that's out?
No.
I forget what it's called, but it's basically a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Well, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was a remake already, I believe.
But I believe it's Melissa McCarthy, and who is the... let's see. Didn't want to like her. Actually, turns out she's a good actress.
Melanie Griffith?
No.
You're not narrowing it down.
Anne Hathaway. If you look up Anne Hathaway, Melissa McCarthy, I think they star in the movie that's... it's not called The Hustle, is it? I don't know. Something like that.
Okay. Jenny McCarthy and Melissa McCarthy should do a movie together.
There you go.
I don't actually like Jenny McCarthy.
No, she's got issues.
You think?
Yeah. Plus, we'd have to see Donnie Wahlberg. And, you know, hey, he's maybe my favorite Wahlberg, but still, isn't it? Are you looking it up, or are we just giving past?
Yes, I'm looking it up.
I could have all the actresses wrong, by the way. It could be Rebel Wilson and Luke Wilson.
You're sure it was them together? Oh, The Hustle.
Yes, there is The Hustle. Rebel Wilson, Anne Hathaway. Okay, so not Melissa McCarthy. It was Rebel Wilson. Anne Hathaway.
Oh, my God. Are you just totally going with fat people? Did you really do that?
Apparently, I'm a sizist. I apologize.
Okay. All right. I know nothing about this movie, and it looks terrible.
All you have to know is it's like a complete ripoff of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which, again, you and I are going to talk about The Love Guru.
Yeah.
Because, have you seen it yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you should. Anyway.
I will probably like it. That's the thing.
I did like it. But anyway, okay, so. Anyway, so... maybe we could do a The Hustle / Love Guru double feature.
Please no.
Okay.
Yeah, no. There's much other worse, bad, terrible, good movies I'd rather watch. Anyway, digress.
Rinko enlists his friend Professor Andreev, Emperor Palpatine, who's going to reconstruct the faces of the skulls. And that was a relatively new thing, too. I remember when they started reconstructing skulls, one of the skulls, faces they reconstructed was Eklutna Annie. Remember her?
I do indeed.
A Robert Hansen victim. Butcher Baker, the serial killer. Anyway, so then during his investigation, Rinko crosses paths with William Kerwell, played by Brian Dennehy, who we know from First Blood, And he is a New York police detective straight out of Central Casting who is in the Soviet Union investigating the disappearance of his brother James. At a weekend getaway at the dacha of Chief Prosecutor Iamskoy, played by Ian Bannon from Braveheart, Renko also makes the acquaintance of the American sable importer Jack Osborne, Lee Marvin, who we know from The Dirty Dozen. By the way, I had a question before about if there's anyone cooler than James Coburn. There should be a cool-off between James Coburn and Lee Marvin.
Really? I didn't like Lee Marvin.
You didn't think he was at least cool?
No.
No? Wow.
I thought his acting was very... I don't know. I think this whole movie was robotic.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was fine.
He wanted to be smarmy and smart, but it was just so condescending and not, I don't know.
Ugly American? No?
Well, maybe, but no, I don't know. I just didn't, his character just didn't, I don't know, resonate with me. Again, maybe having read the book did a great disservice to watching the movie, but I remember the characters in the book being a lot better, but I also suspect my memory is that this novel was a pretty big novel, so I suspect a great deal of it is missing from the movie.
Well, again, I think a lot of it is ambiance and tone. And we have also, so his girlfriend, Jack Osborne's, in this plot synopsis, it calls her his girlfriend, but it's a little more complicated. Irina Asanova, who is Joanna Pacula, who you know from Tombstone. And she is kind of a little bit wooden, but I think it's really just sort of Eastern European lack of emotions, kind of like Soviet matter-of-factness, instead of just being a bad actress. Does that make sense? Or maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm giving her too much credit.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, so Renko is eventually able to piece together the victim's identities. One of them is James Kerwell, who is, of course, the brother of the detective that's looking for him. And then two young Russians who are friends of Irina. And discovers that they were busy constructing a chest, a religious icon chest, for Osborne. Renko's suspicion of Osborne mounts over time during their polite but tense conversations in social settings. When Irina is attacked by a KGB officer who attempts to inject her with a fatal dose of drugs, Renko saves her. Nursing her back to health in his apartment, they begin an affair. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really buy it. Maybe because she was so cold and emotionless or whatever. But, and he was sort of playing a little bit flat too, I think. But yeah,
well, there was no chemistry. There was no chemistry. There was no charisma. She also was drastically overacting. So
during the sex scene?
During most of her performance.
Oh, see, I thought she was sort of, she was like very tense, but keeping it under wraps acting.
Yeah. Yeah. So there wasn't a character in this movie that I was compelled to either root for, good or bad, you know, survive or die, or that I was interested in. It was just such a, I don't know, it really had a flat kind of effect.
So then Kerwell finally locates the barn where the three victims were building the chest. It was designed to smuggle six sables out of the country and break the Soviet monopoly on their fur, potentially earning Osborne millions of dollars. Irina stubbornly continues to believe that her two friends are alive, but Osborne has promised to smuggle them out of the Soviet Union in return for their work, and that he told her that they are successfully freed and she is next to go. But Renko confronts her with Professor Andreev's reconstructed head of one of her friends, forcing her to realize that they have been murdered by Osborne. So she confesses the full details of the plot to him and then runs away. And Renko and Kerwell go to Andreev's to retrieve the second reconstructed head, but a KGB agent emerges with it in a box. They follow him, and Renko is crushed to find out they're back at Iamskov's dacha. They watch from a distance as Osborne and Iamskoy supervise the destruction of the head by the KGB agent with an axe.
Yeah, nice brutal recreation.
And to Kerwell's horror, it's the brother's head. So then Rinko confronts Yamskoy in a bathhouse. And Yamskoy cordially admits that he kept Rinko on the case because Osborne was unwilling to pay a high enough price to smuggle out the Sables. Rinko's investigation was intended to frighten Osborne into paying more money. So he offers to cut Rinko in on Osborne's kickback, but Rinko reveals that he's recorded the conversation. So Yamskoy jumps up and wrestles with him for a gun, and the ensuing struggle, Rinko's gun goes off and kills Yamskoy. So Osborne flees to Stockholm, Sweden, and Rinko is now with the KGB, who have him for killing the party member or whatever, but they allow him to travel there to supervise an exchange. He is to receive the Sables from Osborne, where everybody will be allowed to walk away at that point. So he shows up and shown into a bedroom where Irina is waiting for him. She confesses that she fled to Osborne, who worked her freedom into the deal for the Sables. She promises Rinko that his freedom can also be part of the deal, but Rinko is disgusted by her treachery and tells Irina she has blood on her hands. So he meets with Kerwill, and the two assume that as soon as the exchange is complete, the KGB will kill Irina, Rinko, and Osborne all at the same time. So they go out to the remote farm, and Rinko and the KGB agents approach Osborne. They come across the corpse of Kerwill, tied to a tree with his intestines hanging out. And of course, Rinko is devastated by that. And then Osborne loudly announces that he has gutted Kerwill after he killed his dogs. And Osborne throws 6 dead Sables onto the field and asks the men to lower their weapons. Rinko realizes that neither side will let the other live. When Osborne shoots a man, Rinko grabs Irina and runs for cover in the woods. Then a guy named Pribluda then kills the other man before Osborne kills Pribluda in a standoff. Blah, blah, blah. Osborne tries to shoot Rinko in the woods. It's the most painful place to get shot is right in the woods.
Yeah.
Rinko finds more live Sables in the cages. Irina emerges from the woods. Osborne threatens to kill her if Rinko doesn't surrender. When Rinko emerges to give up, Irina shoots Osborne. Then Rinko shoots Osborne. And Irina then fires multiple rounds, killing him. She asks Rinko now to go away with him, but Rinko reveals that he agreed to do a hit on Osborne in return for Irina's safety. And so that she could leave the Soviet Union. And that she wouldn't be hunted down, because if she and Rinko left, the KGB would never let either of them go.
Dun dun dun.
So as Irina runs off to her freedom in Sweden, Rinko frees all the Sables. Reborn free, weasels in the forest.
It's kind of ridiculous.
And they run off to the woods as we hear Irina's voice repeat Rinko's promise that they will again meet one day.
One day.
So Gorky Park, I was hoping it would give me actually a sense of nostalgia. But you're right, it wasn't the great performances by anybody.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I think Drew might suggest it's not actually worth it. It's fine as thrillers go. But you're right, I don't think you care about any characters.
Yeah, I wasn't invested. I didn't feel any tension, and I really didn't care if anybody died. Like they could have shot and killed her or Arcady or like anybody. I wouldn't. It's like, okay, all right, moving on. Also, this movie didn't make any money.
Well, 83, it was probably up against some stiff competition.
Yeah, but it was budgeted for $15 million. It made just barely $15 million.
Yeah, so, well, that's why they didn't do the second movie.
I was going to say, that's why there was no sequel. So, but I hope Martin Cruz Smith made a shit ton of money, so.
Question, though. Look up on IMDb, if you will. Is Arcady Rinko in any other movie?
Oh, that's,
Because maybe, again, like Thomas Ripley, maybe there's a whole bunch of Rinko movies, we just don't know about them.
A Stinger, that's a horror's drink. Oh, they made Havana Bay.
Who played Rinko in that movie?
A 2002 film based on the novel, directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Wow.
William Hurt once again plays the Russian investigator.
Get out of town!
with Tia Carrera, Antonio Banderas, Lou Diamond Phillips, Benjamin Bratt. James, we have to watch this.
We do. You know, in fact, let's track this down and we will pin it at the end of this episode because we are only 31 minutes into it. So here we go. This is part one of a two-part special.
Wow. 2002. Okay, Havana Bay.
Now I gotta... It's called Havana Bay. Let me see if I can find it.
That's what it says.
Havana Bay.
It doesn't show up on IMDb.
Havana Bay.
It must be called something else.
Havana Bay.
Oh, it's called... I think the movie's called A Different Channel.
A Different Channel?
Perhaps. Because it's parenthetical. A different... Huh, this is quite the wild goose chase. It's not listed in anybody... This movie is not listed in anybody's...
Well, we're not going to be able to get away with this then. Damn it.
Huh. I don't understand. I'll send you the link that I have. I mean, it... I don't understand. I can't believe that somebody would make this up, but, you know, I don't know. Clearly, somebody's having a laugh. Let's see if this will paste.
Have a laugh. Implausible alternate history dot fandom dot, is that, oh, is it a,
maybe
like
this
a
is
fan fiction?
Maybe. That must be what this is. I had my hopes up and I was dashed. Oh, I should have known. This is it. I should have read further and known this was a joke. Gary Busey, John Lithgow, Jane Curtin, John Hurd, Chris Rock, RuPaul, and Gary Sinise.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
I should have. Yeah.
Is this like fan fiction?
Yeah, it must be. Ugh. That's disappointing.
Right there. Wild goose chase.
Joke's on us. It's a wild sable chase, really. Mm. So we went down the rabbit hole. So, the internet, you fooled us. Martin Cruz Smith.
Now, the only thing he's written, I think, is also Nightwing, which does not get good reviews, and it's...
I don't know anything about it.
It's like a thriller, but it takes place in some... it involves like vampire bats and like disease, and it ends up being like a thriller, like Outbreak meets Indiana Jones.
Okay, he wrote... So there's another movie he did, The Art of Crime, in 1975. It is a TV movie.
The Art of Crime. We won't be able to find that one either, probably.
No, I would imagine, especially because it's a TV movie. Oh, I think this was a TV pilot. So, yeah. I think it was meant to be. It has an IMDb rating of 3.7. So, all right. Okay. I'm striking out. I shouldn't be on the internet, apparently.
So. Billy Hurt and Brian Dennehy, Mr. Marvin.
So it turns out it was Kubo's mom all along.
So maybe we can watch this and pair it with Paint Your Wagon. Are you familiar with that?
No.
It's a Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood musical.
No.
It's a musical. They sing.
No. I that not going to happen.
So we send our greetings to everybody who watches Gorky Park to watch it with us. Mariska Hargitay listeners.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah. Not
in a creepy way. It smelled like garbage juice. Not in a creepy way. I don't like moist egg products. Not in a creepy way.
Yeah, this is during a time when the Unabomber was active.
The Unabomber. That's going to be my Halloween costume.
Hello, baby.
Boom. Boom.
Oh dear. Okay.
Well, now Brother Jay is like in the throes of death. Not in a creepy
way. Hey! Never trust twins. You never know who you're dealing with. Not in a creepy way.
Hey! I'm hearing voices.
Are they familiar voices? Are they giving you commands?
Well, I can't tell if they're inside my house or the hillbillies next door. Not in a creepy
way. Hey! Yeah, you know, sometimes we talk about a movie and You know, I don't really feel one way or the other about it when we start talking. But then one of you has a strong opinion about it, and it makes me want to argue the other side. This is not one of those movies. Not in a creepy
way. Hey. Career lawman who always gets his guy. The mission has been compromised. We're going to need to operate outside the system. This is our target. He's a ghost. Rogue former MI6 agent. Doesn't play well with others. You have no idea what we're dealing with. If we stand a chance, you guys have to work together. You want a war? You've got one. Not in a creepy
way. Hey! By the way, is there supposed to be like sexual tension between Ambrose and his second in command?
Like one way, right?
Yeah, but he seems the very cornhole way.
No, like.
What?
Did I? Anywho, no, like a Smithers Mr. Burns kind of tension. Not in a creepy
way. Hey! Like, there's lots of people that don't have the same views that I do, and I don't wish harm upon them. I sometimes wish for them to help me try and understand their point of view, because I don't. And I strive for that. I want to see their point, because sometimes I'm like, I don't think you've thought this through, and I understand that you think I'm smarmy and self-congratulatory, but I want to understand how you got to where you're at, because there's no way I can get there.
Oh,
so,
you're more noble than I am most of the time. Most of the time, I don't want to understand your fucking problem. I want you to understand why you're wrong. Not in a creepy way. Hey! You guys have no joy in your heart. You can't appreciate the little things. It's about the little things. Nothing happens in real life except what you make of it, right? Not in a creepy way. Hey! The fun thing is he did not mute. So we get to hear whatever conversation's about to happen. It's like Foley effects with him walking away. Derek's in trouble. Ooh. Raj, I'm gonna tell mama. So during this interlude, which I'll probably not keep, of course, maybe I'll put it at the very end. I don't know, do people want outtakes? Tell you what, send us an email to outtakes@notinacreepyway.com. Or actually, just go online to Facebook or Twitter and at us and mention #outtakes if you like it. And if you don't want outtakes, put #... not takes. Nought. I did a whole commentary because you didn't mute yourself. So it was like, oh. Ooh, Raj, I'm going to tell mama.
It's just frustrating. Jesse shut the bedroom door, which would have been fine, except the dog doesn't understand that he's not being left out of the bedroom with the door shut, that there's nobody in there. So he's sitting at the bedroom door barking to get let in.
Oh, which is hilarious.
Well, I'm the only one in the house upstairs. So it's like, oh God. So then I was going to see if Derek would take the dog downstairs, because Derek's downstairs. But then I realized that wouldn't work, because then he'd clamber up and down the stairs, and that's super loud. And so I went out looking for Jesse, and he was in the backyard with his new car. So
he bought a new car? RC car.
No, he bought a used car.
A grown-up car? Like a car you drive in?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. What kind?
Some Subaru thing.
Oh, okay.
It reminds me of like... sorry, I'm speaking really loud. Deep breath. The situation reminded me very much of growing up with Dad, where things suddenly got traded oddly. So it was like, oh, we have this thing and we traded this thing for this. It was like some strange barter exchange, because he didn't pay money for it. He traded it for his Nintendo Switch.
Does he have like registration and title paperwork?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got the title.
So he got a $300 car?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's cool, I guess. Oh, to be young.
It'll get better mileage than the Durango he's driving, so it'll be an upgrade. Upgrade. But
can he sell his Durango?
He's gonna trade it
for an Xbox?
a PlayStation. He's gonna give the Durango to his younger brother when his younger brother's old enough to drive. So in the meantime, it's gonna get parked at his older brother's place, because we really can't have like 5 vehicles in the driveway.
Yeah.
So we're turning into Roger. It's been this comedy of errors, and Griffin's really interested in the new car. He's like, I want to get into that. And Jesse said, it smells like other dogs. I'm like, I would not let him in your car then.
Yeah.
It's going to end badly for everyone. So anyway,
okay.
Where were we?
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow. And maybe rambling, that's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome.